This is Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Veronica Rickard. Coming up on this Food Friday, we'll talk about meatballs, from your classic Swedish meatball to a vegan lentil version.
First, in 2010, Madison Smart Studios closed its doors permanently after decades of success and influence in the music industry. The recording studio was co-founded by producers Butch Vig and Steve Marker, who later founded Madison's own famous rock band, Garbage. In addition to recording scores of local and regional bands, the studio hosted big names like Nirvana, Smashing Pumpkins, and Death Cab for Cutie.
Madison filmmaker Wendy Schneider spent the last several years creating the Smart Studio Story, documentary that chronicles the history of the now legendary recording studio, and she joins us now. Wendy, welcome to Central Time.
Thank you. It is great to be here.
Well, Wendy, what was the original idea behind Smart Studios when it first started up?
Smart Studios was an outlet for Butch and Steve to record friends of theirs, friends like The Appliances, Butch's band Spooner. They basically built a clubhouse in the Gishalt building on the second floor in a very raw space so that they could have a place to go to kind of drink beer, hang out, and make cassette recordings. That was the beginning of Smart Studios.
Looking at some of the interviews that you did with the musicians who played there over the years, the band members, it sounds as though there was a distinctive sound of Smart Studios, or that they were able to get a sound that other people couldn't. How would you describe that?
I think that I would describe the sound as really unpretentious and organic to the band. I think that's what Butch and Steve were really great at doing, was not manipulating bands to sound anything unlike what they did sound like, but they also worked very hard to sort of extract the best tones and the best performances from those bands. So I think that the Smart sound was really, it was the sound of the music of the time, but it was recorded in a way that was revealed, you know, beautifully to people who listened to those recordings.
And for an indie studio in Madison, Wisconsin, kind of out of the way, the studio had an incredible roster of talent come out of it. Can you run through the list for us a little bit? Who recorded at Smart Studios?
Well, if you go back to some of the local bands, and I'll draw from the film, you know, Tar Babies, The Appliances, The Weeds, Sometimes Why, Fun with Adams, Honor Among Thieves. You know, those were some of the local bands. And then, you know, when you get into bands from Chicago and around the Midwest, like the Chainsaw Kittens, Laughing Hyenas, Smashing Pumpkins, leading up to, you know, the period where Nirvana and Tad, The Fluid, you know, bands from Colorado, Seattle, California, you know, that would be L7. You know, I think that Smart became a destination for bands when studios were really not destinations, nor was Madison, you know? So it's interesting that Smart began to draw a variety of bands from across the country to the Midwest, because the music that Butch and Steve were recording was getting out and being heard.
Now, the one I heard about before I knew anything about the story of Smart Studios was Nirvana. People would say, you know, Nirvana recorded here at that little building on East Washington. What was their session here like, and how did they end up here?
They ended up here. What's interesting is they ended up here because of the local band Killdozer. That's what was a really interesting story that I began to hear from bands around, you know, why did Nirvana end up here? How did they end up in Madison, Wisconsin? And it was Butch's recording of the record 12 Point Bucks by Killdozer that ended up being heard by Jonathan Poneman at Sub Pop Records in Seattle. Sub Pop heard the record, loved the production, loved the work that Butch was doing, and began to send bands who were on in their catalog to Smart Studios. Nirvana was one of those bands. So Nirvana came in April of, is it 90 or 91? And what I've heard about the session was that it was short. They were tired. They were fresh off of a tour. They worked long and hard. And I believe on the fourth or fifth day, when Kurt Cobain was doing vocals, he blew out his voice. So they actually couldn't finish those sessions here. that's how they went. They went, you know, very similarly. The session went similarly to other sessions at SMART. You know, a band comes in for a few days off a tour. They bang out an EP. They bang out a full length, a single, whatever they want to record. And then they take off. I mean, that was not atypical for sessions at SMART Studios.
We're talking with Wendy Schneider right now. She's the director of the new documentary called The SMART Studio Story. It debuts this weekend in Wisconsin. And Wendy, do you remember any other stories from what it was like? Sounds like it was a pretty quick business. A band came in, they banged it out, and they left town. But do you remember any other stories like about Nirvana that caught your ear as a filmmaker as you researched this film?
You know, it's interesting because I get asked a lot about, you know, what crazy, outlandish things happened over the course of, you know, SMART Studios' run in Madison that make the studio or the story behind the studio stand out. And what's interesting is that for me, as a musician, as an engineer, and as a filmmaker, I was really drawn to what was really unpretentious and really steadfast about the studio. I was drawn to the work ethic and the level at which anyone who worked there was willing to go to make a good record. That was something that, or the experience of that happening in recording studios is not as widespread as it used to be. I think that records are done differently now. There's less attachment to community. There's less attachment to space. So for me, what was profound, what was really profound about the story of SMART, and what I think is something that I continue to be drawn to, is that it was a very, very real, very accessible environment for musicians. And there was a level of dedication and a level of skill that was brought to each session that was priority, you know. And so it's not for me about the heroin overdose in the bathroom or sex on the console. I mean, I could tell you stories like that.
Wait, those things actually happened?
Well, the thing, you know, what I feel also is really important about recording studios is that there's a level of mystique and intrigue and mystery around the sessions that happened. What went on behind those closed doors? It becomes intimate. It becomes private. It's something that's like this isolated little, you know, world develops over the course of a week or 2 weeks or 3 months. And what happens in there sometimes stays in there, but the result of which we all get to experience.
Well, Wendy, I know that this documentary, it was a labor of love for you. I think I read you collected tape for 6 years or something like that. Why did you decide that you had to make this film to tell the story?
Well, I decided to make the film, or I decided to finish the film after so long being in the trenches with the material, because it was important. Well, it was important for me to get to the other side, or to slay the dragon, so to speak. It was seemingly insurmountable project for a very long period of time until the Kickstarter came through, and then there was really some resources and support behind the work that I was doing. But I also felt that it was really important to honor the community of Madison, the work of Butch and Steve, other engineers, the music, the building, the scene, the history. All of that for me was valuable, and I felt a great sort of a great respect for it. And I wanted to help encapsulate that, at least as a launching of a narrative that was going to begin to tell one version of a story from this period of time.
And as we wrap up, why did the studio shut its doors?
That's a good question. Why does a studio, not necessarily SMART, but why does any sort of mid-sized to world-class studio shut its doors? You know, if you look at SMART's closing in 2010, you can look at it being on the heels of the economic downturn of 2008. You can look at the rise of the digital age and the accessibility of recording gear and recording equipment to musicians. Butch and Steve, after the success of Garbage, had moved to other cities and other states. Garbage was a big part of their lives at this point. So, you know, I think that it was a confluence of events and circumstances that led to the bottom line being something that everybody had to look at and say, can we keep it going? And the answer was no in 2010.
Wendy, thanks a lot for joining us.
Oh, it was my pleasure. I really appreciate you having me.
That was filmmaker Wendy Schneider talking about her new documentary, The Smart Studio Story, which is screening at the Wisconsin Film Festival this weekend.
Coming up after the news, Food Friday regular Lori Skelton joins us to talk about meatballs. She's got some great recipes and cooking advice coming up. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Veronica Rickert. You're listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.